This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
We have had, and this has been reported since, you know, back quite a while, transportation issues going on with District 61 and particularly school buses and the routes. And it's been a challenge for sure. And we want to welcome to the program Todd Kovalt, who is the Chief Operational Officer for DPS 61, and Kimmy Taylor, who is the Coordinator of Transportation, to the program this morning. And Kimmy, I understand you're brand new to the job.
Correct. Yes, I am. Good
it's like
morning.
3 weeks they throw you right to the wolves there and send you down here to do the radio show.
I'm ready for it.
All right. Todd, let's go back. I don't want to rehash the whole conversation, but you got to kind of go back to the beginning. This has been a challenge all year.
Yes, it has. The district currently has 73 bus routes, and unfortunately, we only have 61 drivers. So fundamentally, we have 12 drivers short. We can't transport what we have currently designed. You know, and conceptually, if you think of the fact that we have three tiers, essentially our schools start at different times so that a single bus can cover, you know, three different drop-off times. But if you take 12 drivers short times three tiers and conceptually think about 20 kids on a bus, you're talking about 720 kids that aren't being transported right now.
And how are those kids getting to school?
Unfortunately, many of our students rely heavily upon transportation. So some of them find ways to get here, but others are still at home and they're doing remote exercises. So you get the fundamental problem
here. Okay, so you contract this out. I mean the school bus drivers don't work for District 61. They work for a company called Alltown.
Correct.
And that company has been different companies throughout the years, and
correct,
it's something that goes out, I guess, to bid, and there's a contract put together. And Kimmy, you used to actually work there.
Yes.
All right. So you know the inside of how this whole thing runs. We clearly have the employment issue going on in this country, and you're seeing this across the board, whether it's a supermarket or a fast food place or,
yes,
I'm assuming, bus drivers. Contractually, though, are they not obligated to fulfill these positions? I mean, as tough as it may be, are they not required to do this?
A great question, Brian. And I think that in most contracts, you're going to find a force majeure kind of clause where act of God. I mean, nobody planned for a pandemic. Currently, on a national basis, there's like 80,000 truck drivers missing right now.
Sure.
And they're estimating that in the next 9 years, that might be as much as a million drivers needed. And these are bus drivers have a CDL. They easily can go into the truck driving industry where there's a significant shortage. But in this case, if you go back in time when the contract was first let for Alltown, minimum wage is $8.25. The contract had a specific requirement of a minimum wage of $15. And today, you know, $15, we're competing with Taco Bell to try to hire a driver. So,
okay. Now, yes. There's also been issues, and I'm not asking either one of you to comment on this, but I mean, you know, when there was a shortage to start the school year and then the guys somewhere out of cell phone service, I mean, the communications haven't been great. I mean, outside looking in and having a student in District 61, he doesn't ride the bus, but, you know, I know everybody's trying to do everything they can. And so the question was, well, if Alltown's the problem, but you could bring in another company and you're still going to have the same employment issues, correct? I mean,
correct.
It's the same work pool.
So here's what we're going to do. Since Kimmy's come in now 3 weeks, we also brought in our transportation logistics expert, Randy Dotson. Randy's been retired from the, he's been kind of, you know, sitting with Kimmy, and between the two of them, they're rerouting the district. We're basically blowing up the system and recreating it because we have to. We don't have a choice. So when we come back from the break, here's what you're going to see. And
you mean the Christmas break starting in the new year in January?
Yes, thanks. Okay. The winter holidays. When we come back, you know, we're going to have a reduced number of bus stops. Students are going to have to walk farther to get to their bus stop. So we're going to be reducing the number of miles driven. We're going to increase the capacity of our buses, what we call bus loads. Students that, if you had 20 kids on the bus, you're going to probably have more kids when you get back.
And were those bus load requirements the outcome of the pandemic and spacing issues, or was that just, I mean, walk me through that a little bit.
Essentially, partially, but partially the fact that In a day when you have additional drivers, you can account for it. But at this point, we don't really have any choice but to just increase capacity.
What does a school bus hold?
72 passengers. Okay, but so it depends on the grade level. So
sure, but 20 is not. I mean, clearly you're driving around with a lot of empty seats.
And the reason we try to keep it low capacity in the past also is student discipline issues. When you have 66 elementary students, they're compacted into a bus, it just causes a little bit of sometimes some issues on both side parts.
So, all right, and we're talking about pre-K through eighth grade, right?
Primarily, we do transport a little bit on the high school side,
but most of that's city buses,
right? Most of it's city bus, but we have some areas the city buses don't hit.
Okay, so. All right. So mainly we're talking about pre-kindergarten through eighth grade.
Correct.
So we're gonna increase transit time on the buses. We're going to remove students that currently shouldn't be bused. In our analysis, there are sections of during the merging of boundaries. There are some students that are currently being bused that really shouldn't be.
So and what would that mean?
It means that they should be walking. So we're gonna notify them and say, sorry, you live less than a mile and a half from the district. You're not in a hazard area. We need to remove you off the bus because we don't have any legal right to transport you for free and make room for students that are supposed to be on the bus.
All right, that's interesting. I don't know that I've ever really thought about it. If you just draw a circle around a school and say that if you say a mile and a half, pre-K, kindergartners, first graders expected to walk a mile and a half in, 14-degree weather?
Conceptually correct.
Okay. And
Our pre-K program, for clarification, is state-funded, and we transport all pre-K.
Okay. So what age, then, are we talking about as far as the walking requirement?
Kindergarten up.
Okay. And are you getting any feedback on that?
I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will after today. I'm sure we will after we give notification. But we've got to get to the point where the 800 kids out there that aren't being transported, we have a means of getting them to school. We have an obligation to transport those that do qualify for free transportation, and those are the ones we're primarily focused on.
Okay, so when you say obligation, I'm assuming you mean under the letter of the law, this is what you are absolutely required to do, and over in this column, you're not required to do it.
Great question. And it's an interesting historical fact about Decatur, but in 1865, Decatur went to the General Assembly and said, we want to start a school district. We were a charter school district. And under the law, technically, Decatur's not even required to provide transportation.
Okay, but under the law, but in 1865, Todd, there weren't cars. We would have been sending horseback to people. So, I mean,
So in today's environment, if you're going to provide transportation, you don't want to do it discriminatorily. Yeah. So if you're going to provide transportation, you need to do it equitably throughout. And that's the problem we're facing is we're not.
Okay, so why can't you just pay bus drivers more?
Well, 5 years ago when we entered into a contract, it was.
And how long is the contract?
It's up at the end of the year.
Five years is a long time in today's world.
So
right?
We're working on that piece too.
Okay.
But let's get through. The primary impact we're looking at the 1.5 miles is going to be Franklin Grove, Dennis Lab School, and Montessori.
Okay.
So a lot of the other schools aren't really going to have as much impact, but those are the three that. Based upon where they drew the boundaries, we're seeing that some students that are being transported shouldn't be.
Okay, and off the top of your head, and I'm thinking about it myself, I mean, are there safe sidewalks? I mean, are there direct routes for walking in those school districts, from a mile and a half into the school itself?
There's no identified hazard areas.
Okay.
Because if they were a hazard area, we have the ability to transport for free as well.
Okay. And how do you define a hazard area?
It's a Department of Transportation form that you fill out, and we have probably 20 of them in the district that have been identified. But these areas are
the speed limits, the terrain, where they have to get to school.
Okay, mm-hmm.
Crossing an area that has heavily traffic without a stop sign, possibly crossing railroad tracks. So we're reconfiguring, and our attempt is to try to get down, to a number of routes where we can pick up all those students that, deserve to have transportation. In the process, we're down to 30 regular routes and 26 special routes. We've absorbed 17 routes. So coming back from the spring break, from the winter break, we should have enough routes to cover all areas to be transported.
Okay, something that I'd like for you to define for me, if you could. because you use the word deserve. I don't know if that's the word you meant to use, but you know, if it, one could argue, hey, I'm paying taxes to the school district. I live in the school district. My kid's, you know, 7 years old. And you want him to walk a mile and a half. I mean, how do you determine deserve? I mean, there's more a technical word I'm thinking you're probably looking for about
statutorily required.
Okay, that's the legalese, and that's probably a little more accurate than deserve or don't deserve. I think you'd have a hard time selling that to parents that your kid doesn't deserve a ride.
Deserve under the statutory requirements. Okay. You're spot on.
All right. So what will you do to lay this out for folks? I mean, this is, you know, messaging is tough in a district with 8,000-9,000 kids, right? I mean, because you've got a million stories and a lot of different backgrounds. How do you roll this out to the parents, and will they have a chance to weigh in? Will there be conversations, you know, moving forward between now and January? How does this all roll out?
Well, in Kimmy's 3 weeks in the district, our primary focus has been trying to figure out how we're going to resolve the problem. So on December 10th, we're intending to send letters out. I'm sure there'll be multiple levels of communication on this, but our role in this is to make sure that specific students that are not going to get transported that previously were know, so they can plan after the winter break. And then as we move forward, and you've made a lot of really great, you know, commentary in terms of what needs to be done, but moving forward with this contract that's up for bid, what we plan on doing is we're going to have to put in a different rate of pay for next year in the contract when we bid it.
And when does the contract with Alltown expire?
Technically at the end of this, at the end of the school year.
Okay. So then you will be looking at this in a whole different way. I mean, five years just seems like, I mean, I guess 5 years on one hand seems like you have some continuity and some long-term partnership, but man, the world has changed an awful lot in 5 years.
It's changed a whole lot. The two indicators that seem to be having the greatest impact is that when we entered in this contract 5 years ago, we didn't know minimum wage was going to be climbing to $15 an hour. You know, it was 8.25 at the time period. And then the other piece is the pandemic. We didn't know that there was going to be 80,000 truck drivers short in the country, and we're going to be competing with truck drivers just to get a bus driver. And it's not an easy process to get a bus driving license.
It takes some time, and passing the background, fingerprints, you know.
You have to be safe. I mean, you can't just put anybody in a school bus. I understand that. I feel like you're going to have to do what you're going to have to do, I guess. I am told by Denise that you can go to dps61.org/findmybus or through the EduLog Parent portal app that this information will be available on or before Friday, December 17th. So that's that information will be forthcoming. I just think that, you know, when the weather gets bad and you know, that this is clearly not an ideal situation for all the families that are in District 61. Is there, I don't know, I guess my final question to you is just, you know, what's your message to them? I would find it hard to believe on the schools you mentioned that I would be comfortable sending my 6-year-old, 7-year-old out to walk a mile and a half. And if I have to work, and this is part of the problem with people going back to work, has been childcare issues. And now I've got to drive my kid to school or make sure. It's going to be a lot of hardship on people.
We understand that, you know, and our first effort is to get the messaging out. Oftentimes parents will work together and carpool and they'll find workarounds. You know, our schools were built in a time where it's not necessarily great to have a lot of car traffic, because the schools were neighborhood schools and people walked to school, and getting the parent traffic along with the bus traffic, it just creates congestion as well at each one of our schools. But we're going to continue to work on some efforts. I'm currently trying to negotiate something with Alltown to do increase their wages to staff. But that's even problematic because I have a contract, and because it was bid, I have limited authority to alter that contract without rebidding.
No, but what is their, I mean, I asked you this before, but just for clarification, I mean, they contracted a certain number of bus routes, certain number of bus drivers, certain number of buses. And if they can't deliver that, why is the responsibility not turned back to them?
It is largely, but at the same time, there is a force majeure, you know, caveat in their contract, which, you know, they'd probably say it's, you know, we didn't know that the minimum wage was coming. We did not know.
Well, but
there was going to be this pandemic.
I'm not sure you can't fight that. I mean, you know, the idea that the companies have to adapt, we have to adapt. Everybody has to adapt. We can't just say we're not going to be on the air because life's hard right now.
Understood. But, if you were to pull their contract, and bid it out, and you end with first in, they're gonna end up with the same drivers that Alltown currently
has.
Well,
that's why the salary conversation has to take place.
That's exactly right. Okay. So salary incentives.
Guaranteed hours, maybe increase from four to six.
So you were in that world. Correct. Now you're in this world. What would it take to get the number of bus drivers you need?
It's hiring incentives. A lot of times right now that I see that it's $15 an hour, guaranteed 4 hours. You can't make a living off of that. So that would help. Training bonuses, getting paid while during training would help. Higher wage, of course, guaranteed the hours instead of four, maybe to six.
All right, so moving forward, these benefits. Are all conversations.
Right. Benefits is the big one.
This just seems like no wonder they can't find people.
Correct.
All right, this model's got to change. And I know you guys are doing your best, but, you know, you're talking about a lot of kids. And, you know, whether they deserve or don't deserve or whatever the statutory, something that was written into law when we were riding horses and buggies, this just seems, you know, I mean, I can understand why parents will find it unacceptable. I know you guys are doing everything you can, and
correct.
I wish you the best, but this can't be the long-term solution. All right, once again, you can go to the website, dps61.org/findmybus. That will be on or before Friday, December 17th. So if you go there today, it's not going to be there, but that will be up where you can look at the bus routes and the route information and find out exactly how you're impacted as a District 61 family. Anything else, Todd?
One other thing. I mean, you mentioned, you know, taxes. A significant portion of transportation is actually funded directly through the General Assembly and appropriations. The intent is to pay 80% of the expenditure cost, and over the past 5 years at least, we've never gotten 80%. And in order for transportation to be more competitive, we're going to need a funding through the state as well. Oftentimes, they appropriate enough money that they're reimbursing like 57% on the.
Todd, I don't doubt that there's a lot of people to blame for this, but at the end of the day, you guys are responsible for 8,000 kids, and you got to do the job. I mean, that's just it. And I know it's tough, and I know everybody's struggling right now with employment. But I think, you know, basic things like transportation, there's got to be a way to solve this. And whatever we can do to help, the state needs to do what they need to do to fund education. I think we've all had that. But it seems to me that when the teachers union or the assistant teachers union, they want something to make sure everything go, we go. Getting the kids to school, not so much. And it's been a tough year. And I know that all of you would rather have something else to talk about and not have to worry about this and have all the kids there. But it's just... got to figure it out. All right. So moving forward, if somebody wants information, they can go to the website. I get that. And we'll make sure that we pass that information along when that information is available. Are there any other resources for parents outside of what it is that you guys do that maybe are going to be stuck in a bind because of this?
Oftentimes our schools will create walk groups. Neighborhoods will create little walk groups where they, you know, the older kids will support younger kids and walking to school. That usually takes place at the building level. Parents working together to, you know, find community means to assist too.
And is the Kyle building doing anything to assist with, you know, or at least get that message to the building level that there are things that they can do to be proactive about their student and parent base?
Our first effort here is to figure out how we're going to transport the kids that aren't being transported. And, you know, we're still working with live data. So, we're not completely done yet, but this is the most updated information we have as today.
All right.
Like I said, Kimmy's been with us for 3 weeks now. Not even three weeks.
But we're working on it, and we're going to try our best to get all the students to school.
All right. We appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.